Welcome to Bubbles and Books, a podcast about two of the best things in life, books and champagne. Brought to you by Amanda and Ellen, co-owners of your local independent bookstore, Dog Ear Books in Amazon.
First, give me a cheers.
Cheers. And books are sexy.
Welcome to Bubbles and Books. We're so lucky. We have a second sponsored week.
Yay!
Thanks to our bubbles being made right here in Marengo, Iowa.
Yay, Fireside!
We love Fireside. Okay, we drank Blanc de Brickyard last week.
We did indeed.
That means white bubbles and it was made from fabulous. White grapes. To give the backstory on last week's drinking experience, which I think will also reflect what we're going to have this week, Blanc de Brickyard is a nod to their vineyard, Brickyard Hill Vineyard. Their main vineyard is about 6 miles from their winery. It's located where both her parents and she lives. The hill where the grapes were planted was known to locals as Brickyard Hill. In the 1800s, it was home to a large brick manufacturing plant. So that's where the Brickyard name comes from. It's really cool. We're opening up Noir de Brickyard today. It's going to be like a red. It's not even a pink bubbly. It's like a red bubbly. It has some really great color because it's coming from red grapes.
Pop it. Pop it. Yes. Ooh. Ooh, that was a nice little pop. It was very dainty.
Yeah, it's really pretty. Now, podcast listeners, you really showed up for us this weekend, and you might think we would have had enough to drink.
You might have, because you came with the Shambong Me bitches.
Way to turn out, podcast listeners. There may have been some people we brought into the Shambong circle who aren't podcast listeners, but will be now.
True.
We had a 21-year-old celebrating his birthday by doing IBD.
Independent we were like, you better do a Shambong, young man. And he was like, okay.
Shambongs are the new keg stand. In my opinion.
Yes, thank you.
Way more sophisticated.
We should go around and speak to sororities and fraternities about this.
Now, you thought keg
Public
stands.
Service announcement, kids.
Try a Shambong. Be responsible.
Cheers.
Cheers. Mm, this smells good.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That's really nice. Really nice. You know what it smells like, though? It smells like communion. Wine from Bethesda Christian Church when I was growing up. The smell. It makes me think of going up and getting like Easter communion.
I don't drink a lot of red wine because I mostly just drink like champagne and Prosecco. But I really like this.
This is really good. So Fireside has proven that good bubbles can be made in Iowa. That's a very hard thing to do.
Very hard. Good job.
So bravo. Fireside. Thank you for sponsoring our drinking habits yet again, Fireside. Ellen, what are you reading?
So usually I'm kind of like ahead of the game on books, but this time I am behind.
Yeah, because it's just out in paperback.
It's just out in paperback. It's been on our bestseller table for a long time. I've had it at home for a long time. It's Murder Your Employer by Rupert Holmes.
I love his name.
Yeah, it's a great cover. So we had a very like gloomy, like several days. And I think it was like Thursday or Friday. It had been thunderstorming and I was home and I finished a book I was reading. And I was like, I want like a mystery. Like I want to like curl up on my couch with a blanket and read like something, I don't know, that feels like cozy, but also mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to read this book. I've had it forever. And oh my gosh, I love it. It's so cute. Have you read it?
I started it and it didn't hook me right away. And I know I need to revisit it.
Oh my gosh, it's so cool. So it is about this very secret university, like top secret university that you go to learn how to kill people.
Successfully without getting caught?
Successfully. They call it deletion, not murder.
Mm.
And, you know, it's very, there are very strict standards. There's a lot of ethics around murdering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, is anybody going to miss this person? Why do you want to murder them?
Mm-hmm.
Good murderers don't get caught.
These are good rules.
We don't recognize our alumni because it's good that they're not recognizable killers.
Yeah.
The good ones didn't get caught.
Yeah.
And so the book is written sort of as a textbook-ish.
Mm-hmm.
about murdering employers. And it's like a case study of three students who went to this college called McMaster's in like the 1950s.
Okay.
And right now I'm in the first student. His name is Cliff Iverson. And his story is a little bit different because most students do come to McMaster's through a strict application process. Tuition is really high. It's hard to get in there. Somehow they found out about it and they got in. He didn't. He tried to murder his boss and failed.
Ooh. Ooh.
But someone, some benefactor, anonymous benefactor, has known that Cliff has been trying to murder his boss, has been fantasizing about it, and has been intending to send Cliff to McMaster's and fund his education. But it wasn't going to be for a while. But unfortunately for Cliff, he fucked up trying to murder his employer. So McMaster scooped him up, swept him away to the school, and they're like, guess what? You're here now. And the thing is, if you try to leave, we'll kill you. And if you fail your classes, we'll also kill you. So
he's kind of there reluctantly.
But the good news is we have an 83% graduation rate. So only 17% of our students get killed.
Oh, that's great.
So Cliff at first tries, like, he don't want to be there. He's like, this is crazy. I just want to get out and kill this guy. And you people are weird. And then over time, he's like, okay, I'm going to do this. You're going to teach me some things I need to know. You're going to give me a well-rounded education on murder. So they learn about, like, electrocution and poisons and, you know, all kinds of things. So anyway, it's really humorous. It's full of puns, which I love a good pun.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I'm reading. It's really fun.
I need to revisit.
What are you reading?
Well, I'm continuing on my way with A Letter to the Luminous Deep by Sylvie Catherall. Someone actually asked about this book over the course of the weekend in the store, and I got to talk about it a little bit. This is the world in which there is very little land left at all. The year is 1002-1003 when this takes place. I feel like I was confused. Is this a long time ago? Is it in the future? I've gotten a little better grasp of it. I think it is a future world in which they refer to the event in which
everything. So they're counting time in it.
Yes, they're counting for it. The clock has been reset.
Got it.
It's like AD, BC. Okay.
Okay.
But their demarcation was the Great Dive. And I don't know what the Great Dive was, what prompted it, but I think it's what brought them all to on water living or underwater living. A main character named E, she goes by the initial E, has been writing letters from her family's architecturally significant home called the Deep House underneath the water to a scholar who studies wildlife in the ocean life, marine life. There's also correspondence. This is called an epistolary book because it's all letters back and forth, messages back and forth. What we know is that both the scholar she was corresponding with, as well as E, they've disappeared and are believed to be dead because the deep house where E had been living has been blown up. And there's no evidence that she survived, but the scholar that she was communicating with, Henry, is also missing. So there's a little bit of a mystery that E's siblings and Henry, the scholar's brother, are trying to piece together based on the letters they've been able to recover. How they recovered the letters when the house blew up, I don't know. They were in their possession. I find it really interesting because it talks a little bit about E's sister's work in the deep, deep, deep of the ocean, like where no light exists. She's on the precipice of a great trench down into the deepest part of the ocean. And that to me is terrifying. Like
Have you seen Meg?
No, on purpose.
Okay. Well,
so I'm finishing listening to that and it's been really good, but I also just started The Hypocrite by Joe Hamya, which comes out in August of this year. It is a novel about a daughter who has created a play based on her father's fall from grace. Her father was a very famous British author, counted among you know, the best of his generation, highly regarded, but hasn't had success in decades. She is now a playwright and has invited him to the debut of her play. And it quickly becomes apparent that her play is about him and her and a summer they shared in Sicily when she was 17. And I was drawn to this because of the complicated relationship I have with my father. I wanted to see how this daughter played off her little bit of revenge.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting writing. Verdict's still out. And then I was also sent from one of our publishers, Mr. and Mrs. American Pie, which is the book that was the basis for this now very popular, and people are saying they're enjoying it, Palm Royale, starring Kristen Wiig. I think it's on Apple TV.
Yeah, people are saying, like, if you like White Lotus, to watch it.
Which I love.
Which I did like White Lotus, so I am going to watch
it. Yeah, and someone asked about it in the store, and we don't have it in store yet, but we have it on order. It'll be coming. So I was thinking of dipping my toe in that water, seeing what it's all about, see if it lives up to the Kristen Wiig hype.
You know what show I watched? This is a little bit of a segue, because I'm mentioning it because you were talking about TV, and it came up at our book club last week.
Mm-hmm.
Girls Five Eva.
I really need to. Thank you for the reminder.
It's really funny. And I've been watching it with my 8-year-old. And he really likes it too.
Okay. Maybe that will be the next show I take on with my kids.
Oh my gosh. It's really funny. The humor is so stupid, but it's like just what I need in my life right now. It's just like stupid.
Well, I've been watching A Gentleman in Moscow.
Okay. It's not that.
I know. But I just want to say, to add another thing to your to be watched list.
Okay.
Gentleman in Moscow is living up to the book. I am so pleased with it. It's so rare that that happens. I love Amar Towles. I love A Gentleman in Moscow. And I am so pleased that the book, the show is living up. I have a Paramount Plus subscription just because of this show.
He's like kind of a hottie. Moulin Rouge. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah. And he plays the role of Alexander so well. And I'm watching that with my kids. And I don't know. There's a little bit of execution and murder that happens. So,
you know, it's like, here's the thing. Holden's my last kid. I'm just not parenting him as well. you're like, meh.
You'll be okay.
You'll be fine. If they say something really bad, just be like, shh, pretend you didn't hear that. Okay.
Don't repeat it.
Or I'll be like, go upstairs. This part's not appropriate.
What are you talking about? I'm not going anywhere. All right. We, as we said, are in recovery from Independent Bookstore Day weekend.
And oh my gosh. So you and I were kind of, we spent all week sort of preparing for it, mm-hmm. getting the store ready, making sure we were going to have all the things we needed, making the store look pretty. You were like down on the floor scrubbing.
I scrubbed
was like
the floor.
Up on the ladder, like dusting all the
shelves. We were Cinderella.
We were fucking Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
But we were like, you know, last year was so good. We had such a great indie bookstore day last year. We're like, let's not like get our hopes up.
Yeah.
Like if we could get kind of close to that, that'd be really cool. But, you know, at a certain point, you're just gonna, like, you can only expect, you know, we've probably peaked.
Right.
And holy shit, we did not peak.
No, we had not peaked.
You guys really came out for us and for our friends.
Yeah. We were just blown away. We opened an hour early. At 8 a.m. on Saturday. And from the get-go, the store was filled. And it was so celebratory. Everybody who came was having a great time.
Yeah. We had so much fun. We were so tired by the end of the day. We didn't have voices. We were sore. We were like waddling around.
Yeah. We're such old people. People who like work 16-hour nurse shifts are like, come on, guys. But I spent some time reflecting on what it felt like to be in that atmosphere. And it was just so joyful. Historically, one of our other best days of the year in terms of the number of people we see in the store would be Small Business Saturday, which is the Saturday in November that kind of starts off the holiday shopping season. And a lot of us at that time of year are already kind of feeling the stress of what the holidays will mean and who all we want to shop for. And so it can be very joyful then too. But there's something about Independent Bookstore Day, this special celebration that we've just invented as booksellers to celebrate, you know, the joy of reading, the joy of local curation, the joy of having a bookstore in your community where you can discover your next great read. The people who turn out for that are the best people. Like, they're so happy. They're book lovers. They're enthusiasts. They love bookstores, and they're there to treat themselves. You know, they're celebrating their personal reading life. They're finding books for themselves to read. It goes beyond just the celebration of what indie bookstores do for readers. It's what it is to be a reader, to love books.
And one thing I really loved this year, so we've been doing the Passport. This was our third year doing it. We love collaborating with our other bookstore friends. Hope we get to do it forever. Mm-hmm. But what was really cool was to see a lot of our customers are building their own traditions around Indie Bookstore Day. Like, we had one group come in. It was like a book club. It was, I forget what they were called, but it had to do with plants and books. Uh-huh. And they made their own tote bag. And it was like all the stops. It listed all the stops in order. Like,
yeah, that was so impressive.
Yeah, we'll post a picture of it. And there were multiple groups that had their whole weekend planned around it.
Right. Parents with their kids making a road trip out of it. There was one girl who dressed up as Belle from Beauty and the Beast. She had rose earrings and like her cute little blue smocked outfit. A lot of sister groups shopping together. That made me so joyful. So next up, you're going to hear a few snippets of conversations we had while in the store during Indie Bookstore Day. It's a little wild, a little raucous, a little noisy, but enjoy some of the things we heard on Indie Bookstore
Day. We pulled out the mini mics.
Hi, welcome to Dog Eared Books. Could you tell us your name and where you're from?
Sure. Nate Ripke, and I'm from Ames, Iowa.
Are you a reader?
I love reading.
All right, what do you like to read?
Sci-fi, fantasy mostly, although I do love a good horror or mystery thriller novel.
Nice. Yeah. Dune. Are you into the Dune series?
Yes. I've been a huge fan of Dune for a long time.
Okay.
I've read the first four books like four or five times.
And the movies?
I've seen them. I love them. They're great. Yes.
Great. Okay. And what do you love most about Indie Bookstore Day? You're here today on one of our most special days.
Yes. I actually forgot that it was Indie Bookstore Day. So
we'll forgive you.
I'm very happy that I came in. But I think it's very cool. I think it's great to support local businesses, small businesses. As a small business owner, like, I appreciate that. So want to support that as much as possible. Yep.
And we do that here in Ames. We like to support all of our small businesses on Main Street and beyond.
Yes. So
we have two customers here. What is your names? What are your names and where are you from?
I'm Claire from Des Moines.
I'm Kaylee, also from Des Moines.
Thanks for being here. How many bookstores have you been to today?
This is our seventh one.
Wow. Okay. What time did you start this morning?
Like 10 in the morning.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay. What are you most excited about on Indie Bookstore Day?
I haven't been to a lot of these bookstores, so it's like going different places that I normally wouldn't go.
Awesome. Thank you.
So I think our little book club is the Read Between the Blinds because we're all plant lovers and we all live a different, I live in a different place, so I think it's kind of fun that we're doing it.
I had to come down to my indie bookstore and buy a book for my dad about ships. And
Ellen would approve.
Yes, and new t-shirts for me and my niece.
Oh, exciting.
Yes, because she's a tie-dye girl.
Are you doing anything else for Indie Bookstore Day?
No, I'm going to go home and read the 900 books I bought from Dog-Eared and every other indie bookstore I patronize.
I love it. What's your favorite things about indie bookstores?
I really like that it's a place that the community can come together. I like all the events that y'all do. I like having a store where I know I can go and like get a gift for myself or for friends. And my friends work here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fun.
Is this your first indie bookstore day?
This is mine. Yes, my first day.
It's technically my second. My sister lives in Des Moines. We've made it like an annual trip, and Anna joined us this year.
Yep, all eight today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what are you wanting to get while you're out? Like, what's your end goal?
Well, we both have lists that we like to check all the books off of.
Yep. I think my list has like 20 books on it. So we'll see if I hit them all up or not.
Yeah. And then just supporting the local businesses. So.
And then what's your favorite thing about Indie Bookstores?
Oh, gosh.
The people, meeting all the people and hearing all the recommendations from everybody and just seeing people out supporting the local businesses.
I agree. The people, for sure, what draw me in. And just, like, the variety of books. I feel like you guys are good at carrying, like, local authors, and I like that, too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, as you can tell, the store was incredibly busy. Just bubbly happiness for the entire 12 hours we were open on Saturday, and it didn't slow down much on Sunday.
No, just busy all weekend. And what I loved was seeing people of like all ages,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we had lots of little kids. At one point, there was like kids screaming everywhere. And I actually was like walking back to the office and I heard someone say, this bookstore has too many screaming kids. And I just laughed because I was like, you know what? I love that for us.
Yeah.
As a mom, I love that for us.
I know. They're all, everybody belongs at our store. All are welcome.
You know what? Kids scream sometimes.
They do.
Been there,
done that. One of the most exciting offerings we had on Indie Bookstore Day was the debut of our new merch, our new t-shirt design created by Shelby Mitchell of Ripke Design, just around the corner from us.
Yep. She always does great work. She knocks it out of the park every time.
Home runs. Every yep. time. It's so much fun.
And she came to see us on Indie Bookstore Day. I know. Which was really so cool. Cute. And she brought her daughter.
And her husband. Yep. Her daughter was wearing one of our previous designs, Read Books, Pet Dogs. That was our last major hit. So the new one we would call Psychedelic Lovey. Does that work? It's Lovey's head surrounded by mushrooms and flowers and groovy letters. Because that's the kind of summer we want to have.
It is.
A groovy summer. With books.
And it's on tie-dye.
It's awesome. It made all my dreams come true. But we sold 124 t-shirts.
Wow.
Did you know that?
I did not know
that. Now there's 124 people walking out and around in the world wearing our merch.
I saw one of them at Wasabi last night.
Can I tell you one of my favorite merch appearance moments? You know what it is.
No. So I do know it
was on social media. Julia Langbein, our favorite author, posted from France.
I know. We love you, Julia.
Yeah.
You're our best friend.
Forever. We're like forever. So close.
We're basically triplets.
I know. She's just our best.
Girls trip to France.
Yeah. I can't wait till we reunite. But she was wearing our storefront shirt, also Shelby Mitchell design. And she was celebrating with all indies across the world. But she gave us a special shout out, made me so proud.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Some of the other interesting data of note, besides the 124 t-shirts that are now out in the world at Wasabi or the grocery store or Paris, France.
Well, my husband was like, we were walking into Wasabi and she was walking out. My husband was wearing the tie-dye t-shirt and I was like, hey, you guys are twins. And she was like, like, you're weird. I wanted to be like, you bought that from me. I didn't.
We, no surprise, Emily Henry's team knows when to release a book.
Yes, they do. And you know what? A hardcover in romances, that takes some balls.
Yeah. So she always debuts in hardcover with her new releases. Last year was Happy Place.
Yep.
And we sold out on Indie Bookstore Day. And we just had to say, sorry, there might be others at our partner bookstores across central Iowa.
But we were prepared this year. Kind of.
We loaded up. Funny Story was our biggest seller. We sold 25 copies on Saturday alone of Funny Story.
Shit.
Yeah. So people are really excited for that great summer read. And we will plan ahead for next Independent Bookstore Day because Emily Henry is sure to release a book on that day. I think it's genius marketing. All the publishers should be putting out their bestsellers that week.
Yeah, I agree. We also sold a lot of like stickers, but you know what was really neat? Lots of people were coming up with like huge stacks of books and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But you know, they were like, I've been saving up for this.
People had lists.
Like I'm ready to go.
Some of the people in those snippets of interviews said, like they came in. I heard over her conversations. Did you get all the books on your list? Are you going by your list? So step by step, store by store, they were looking for some of the books they've been excited to read and picking up here and there as they went.
My friend and a couple of her friends and coworkers came all the way from Eastern Iowa and she was like, no budget today.
Ooh, that's the way to roll.
So
budgets don't exist on IBD day.
They don't.
I also enjoyed seeing all the social media posts in which people displayed their haul in a picture. They had their IBD haul. One of our other bestsellers for the day was The Champagne Shooter.
The Champagne Shooter, which we came upon accidentally.
Yeah.
Because Austin fucked up, but it was a happy accident. Tell us about it.
My husband was tasked with picking up the balloons and getting what I said was plastic cups for serving a glass of wine. And I said, make sure you have at least 48. And so he comes back and he hands them off to me. And when I get him out on Saturday morning to prepare for selling glasses of champagne, because we wanted everyone to celebrate like we do, they were teeny tiny glasses. Like it would be for like sampling wine. So we branded it Champagne Shooters and lots of people partook.
Yeah. And now we're just going to do Champagne Shooters every now and then.
So look forward to that more often in the future at Dog Eared Books.
And we'll do it like surprise. Hey, Champagne Shooters today.
Okay. Also at the top of the list, as you mentioned, tons of stickers. I want to give Shelby one more shout out. Our psychedelic dog-eared sticker of Lovey with her shrooms and her flowers was our best-selling item of the whole weekend.
Yep.
So 44 of those. But for you and Rachel's shout out, you guys love your Western stickers and your Western books. So Ellen, you get credit. I was
like, I'm going to order some new stickers before Independent Bookstore Day.
And tell me about the one that everybody loves.
It's just a frog in a cowboy hat stretching, reaching for his toes.
And what does he have to say?
You have yeed your last haw, partner.
Yeah, it's so funny. And then Rachel had also put out a sticker of Lovey in a cowboy hat with a straw sticking out of her mouth. And we call it Cowboy Western Lovey. So those are very popular. People are in, you know, Beyonce did it.
I know.
She brought country back.
She did.
In the book category, a couple really good bestsellers were Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies. It's been on our bestseller table forever, but people are still enjoying Emily Wilde, her antisocial behavior, and her discovery of fairies.
Sweet.
Okay. Other Side of Disappearing by Kate Claiborne was a Love Unleashed subscription pick. Katie loves this book. It sold incredibly well. Then this one has been creeping up. We discovered this book. I'm just saying we made this book happen. Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone by Benjamin Stevenson. We read that ahead of time. We thought it was hilarious and smart, an amazing mystery. We made it a subscription pick. Join the dog pack. Get ahead of the game. You know,
we're picking what's the best. Good.
Yep. It just started coming in the last, say, 2 months. It's been rising up the New York Times bestseller list, the indie bestseller list, and we sold out of all of our copies on Indie Bookstore Day.
I had a really fun customer yesterday who comes and doesn't live in town, but comes in the store every once in a while because she really likes our recommendations.
Mm.
And she was like ready to buy a bunch of books. And she was like, I'll read like anything. Like I'm really open-minded. And so I was like, all right. So I was trying to feel her out if she like, cause you know, there's certain books that I like, you know, like See Plain on Vinyl Pro.
Yep.
Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Yes.
They're just like, I love them, but I also know that they're like Ellen weird.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not like probably like what most people like. But I felt like she would like my kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I handled her a bunch of my favorite books. She bought Headshot by Rita Bullwinkle.
Okay.
Chain Gang All-Stars. I think she may have bought Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Good.
I mean, she bought a whole set of
books. She's going to get really excellent reading in the coming months as she picks those up.
Yeah. And it was fun to talk to somebody who was like, yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I sold someone American Mermaid, which I can't say that enough. It was early 20s.
American Mermaid is doing, I mean, it's always done well for us because we push it all the time. But I will say, we're still selling the shit out of American Mermaid.
Yeah. The new cover is awesome because it's a little edgy and badass.
It's a little edgy, yeah.
So we like that. It shouldn't come as a surprise to you that some of our other bestsellers were romances. Our romance readers are so enthusiastic. Here are the three romance titles that were also just going crazy on Indie Bookstore Weekend. Done and Dusted.
I just listened to that one.
Okay, remind people what Done and Dusted is. It's contemporary Western, yeah, not an old Western.
The cover is great, but it does make it seem more like old-timey Western. It's not. Like, I was trying to hand sell it to someone. She's like, oh, I don't know. I was like, okay, well, you see how, like, the cowboy on the cover has his shirt tucked in. He's wearing a cowboy hat. The guy in the book wears his baseball cap backwards and muscle t-shirts, okay?
Oh.
All right.
So it's different.
It's different.
Than the cover art.
Yes.
Mm.
Rachel said it's Western vintage pop art is the cover, and that is correct, but it doesn't really match the story.
Okay.
So the main character is she's a writer. She does like barrel racing in the rodeo. She's a professional writer. and she's coming back home to her ranch, you know, that her family owns. And amidst a breakup, she's had, she got thrown by a horse. She's kind of traumatized by it. She can't really like get back in on the saddle, like literally or metaphorically. And so she's home. And, you know, like her brother's best friend, who she's always saw as really annoying and hates his guts, is always around and has to teach her how to ride again. And they fall in love and have a lot of sex.
And there are now two in the series, a third does, coming this fall.
It's really good. I actually liked it a lot. I thought it was good. The sex scenes were good. I'm definitely going to read the sequel.
Which is saying a lot. Like, Ellen's invested.
It's cute, too. I like the story. And it sets up the love stories of the subsequent books, I think.
Killer. The others that did really well were The Fake Mate by Lana Ferguson, which people have been reading like crazy. Crazy stuff happens in that.
So I listened to both The Fake Mate and Done and Dusted. Now, I listened to The Fake Mate because I was told
that
the male voice was super sexy. Mm-hmm. I will say that the male narrator voice in Done and Dusted is way sexier than The Fake Mate.
Ooh.
Controversial opinion? Maybe. I don't know.
Join Libro FM. Listen to both and let us know.
That's how I feel. So if you've listened to both, you can take my side.
Okay. That's the only option. Take her side.
Cooper, I know you've listened to both, so you can weigh in.
Yeah. Cooper, let us know.
Done and Dusted or Fake Mate? Who's hotter?
And then also a new release by Abby Jimenez, Just for the Summer, which we have heard only rave reviews about. And she's our Minnesota neighbor to the north.
Yep, and we would Cupcake love for Baker. Her to come see us.
Yeah, if you hear this, we'll host you anytime.
Abby, if you're listening.
With cupcakes, without cupcakes, with dogs, without dogs, we'll take you any way you want to come down.
So all in all, super successful indie bookstore day. We loved it. We love all of you. You make our job so much fun to do. We love the best part about Indie Bookstore Day is seeing all of you and being able to celebrate, because it's like the day we get to all come together.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And all of us who love this thing that we get to do.
And we're already planning for next year. So mark your calendar. Last weekend in April, it'll be April 26th and 7th. We will be celebrating in Central Iowa, and we already have some great ideas in the works for how we can make it an even more fun weekend to celebrate with you.
All right, we got a few interesting things out today. Probably one of the biggest books of the year. This is nonfiction. One of my favorite nonfiction writers. One of the country's favorite nonfiction writers.
That's definitely true.
Eric Larson. Eric with a K, because we're being a little different. All right? The Demon of Unrest.
Scandinavian.
Eric Larson. Or Scandinavian. Whatever. The Demon of Unrest by Eric Larson.
You know, it's funny. Tanvi and I were, Chad, one of our booksellers, wanted, like, he's like, oh, will you order two books of this in? He texted Tom V. And she looks, she's like, weird. We only have like two copies ordered. How is that possible? Well, we have like cases of it, because then she was unloading like three giant boxes of it.
Yes, we do have cases of it. Yes, and they are signed. Mm-hmm. So I think we have 36 signed copies. So come get them while they're hot. I have read some of this book. It's excellent. If you've read any of his books, Eric Larson writes history really well. He writes it in a really narrative way. And so you kind of feel like you're reading a novel. It definitely has like this thread that pulls you through. So even though you know how the story ends, you're still held sort of in suspense. And he draws so much from primary sources. So diaries, letters, in this one, slave ledgers, plantation records, as well as diaries and letters, etc. Anytime he quotes characters, like in dialogue and conversation, he's actually quoting words from them. So it's very accurate. And he has super interesting subject matter. I read an interview with him once where he was like, I'll never write about Abraham Lincoln because it's just been overdone.
Right.
But actually, this one's about kind of about Abraham Lincoln, sort of.
Adjacent?
It's Abraham Lincoln adjacent. Yeah. It's not really about Abraham Lincoln, but it's about the months between, which was only a couple of months, between the time that Lincoln was elected to the presidency and the Confederates' attack on Fort Sumter, which many people believe was what initiated the Civil War, was the first battle of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened during that time frame? What were the missteps, the miscommunications? How could this American tragedy, the Civil War, have been prevented. And there are like certain characters, I mean, like real life people that this book centers around. One of them is Major Robert Anderson. So he was the commander at Fort Sumter. And he's an interesting character because he was a slave owner and was actually sympathetic to the South's desire to maintain slavery, but he was very loyal to the Union. Mm-hmm. So even though he was sympathetic to the South's causes, he was, you know, a military person, and so he was like, I'm a loyal Union soldier.
So a shitty person, but not the shittiest right. of the people?
Yeah, pretty much. and then Edmund Ruffin, a Vane, a radical who was like a secessionist, Mary Boykin, the wife of a planter, who was sort of conflicted over the issues of the day. And then you also have Lincoln in there as well as numerous other characters. Those are the main ones. But is how these people sort of interact, all the different things they have in play for them. You're talking about like wealth, power, influence, and like how all of those people are maneuvering in ways or not maneuvering in ways that caused this thing that was probably pretty preventable. And you think about the number of lives lost in the Civil War. And I think it's sort of a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
And even if you are not a person who like reads nonfiction or reads history, like that's like totally not your jam, you should try Eric Larson. Maybe this isn't the first book of his you pick up, but he is, if you want to like dabble and you've not dabbled before, he's the one you should start with.
Because it's very much more storytelling versus just fact.
Yeah, it's super engaging. Yeah. Like I don't read a whole lot of history. But I will read anything he writes because I find it fascinating.
It's nice when it can be made digestible for readers who prefer fiction.
Yep. Another book that I'm excited about is Real Americans by Rachel Kong.
This cover is gorgeous.
It's got a really pretty cover.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And so it's about this, it takes place mostly in 2021, and you've got this teenager, Nick, and he's being raised, on like a island off of Washington State where he lives with his single mom, Lily Chen. And he does not know who his biological father is. Okay. Go back in time. Lily is in her early 20s. It's like the year 2000. She's interning and she meets this guy, Matthew, and he is super wealthy. He's heir to a pharmaceutical company. And they fall in love. And so the story is really about what happened in the time in between. So now we know, like, is Nick Matthew's son? And what has happened to that relationship? Why is Lily now in Washington raising a son on her own? How did things fall apart?
That sounds really good.
And then I kind of love stories like that where you're like, okay, Lessons in Chemistry had this sort of structure as well, where you're like, okay, how did we get from point A to point B?
It's like a mystery, but not, you know, you're still putting the pieces and the clues together, but it's not like a suspense.
Yeah, they start you at point B and then they rewind all the way back to point A and you're like, okay, how did we get there?
Yeah.
And then lastly, I talked about it earlier on the podcast, Your Employer is out in paperback this week.
Tom V approves of this paperback because it did not come in damaged at all.
We got all very nice copies. Maintained its cover design, which was an excellent cover design. So I'm happy about that. Mm-hmm.
There's times where a new cover will come out for the paperback and I get so sad.
Yeah, because especially if it was cool.
No. Yeah, and then they get like, it's almost opposite. But sometimes I prefer the paperback cover
to
the new one. So it's fun to see what they do.
Cool. With that, keep the champagne flowing and the books going. Cheers.
Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And for more Dog-Eared Books hijinks, follow us on Instagram @DogEaredBooksAmes or on TikTok @DogEaredBooks.